All right, brethren, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. It's instructive to see how the Spirit of God moved Paul to answer this division at Galatia. And this is the Spirit of God who gave Paul the words to write and how he answered this. He declared that the grace of God has made all his people one through faith in Christ. Look here in verse 26. He says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." God put a difference between Jew and Gentile, male and female, bond and free. He put a difference between them when he gave the old covenant law. There was no Jew and Gentile until God gave that old covenant. There was no such thing as Jew and Gentile. It was just Gentile. When God gave that old covenant law, he put a difference between Jew and Gentile. He put a difference in the law. There was a great difference put between male and female, bond and free. It was so prevalent under the old covenant, they even had a partition in the temple that separated Jew from Gentile. They had a separation from male and female. There's still churches in the South that are so legal in their teaching that they have two doors. Men enter one door and women enter the other door. They keep that division based on those outward carnal things. But here was the lesson in that. In God giving this law and making a difference, the lesson in that was, is God alone makes his child to differ. He's the only one that makes his child to differ. But see how he gave that law written on tables of stone and made them differ outwardly, just temporally speaking. But when he writes the new covenant on the heart, he makes his people to differ spiritually. And he's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can do it. But the carnal Jews who were coming here and they were preaching to these Gentile believers, like all men who were dead in sin, like all men spiritually blind, they came making something of those outward differences because they were puffed up by the difference they had thought had been made by the law. It appealed to their pride. And so they came putting an emphasis on those outward differences, on outward works of the law. They thought being born the first time, being natural sons of Abraham, that made them children of God. And since Gentiles weren't born in Israel, they hated Gentiles. And the males thought themselves better than the females. And them being free, they thought themselves better than the bondmen. There was a prayer the Jews would pray, and they would pray and say that they would thank God they were not born a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. And so when they came here preaching, these ones that appeared to believe on Christ, or where they came here preaching and to these ones that believed on Christ, and they were saying to them that it wasn't enough just to believe on Christ. They said, if you want to be a true child of God, you have to be circumcised, come under the law. You have to live like we do or you can't be a child of God. You can't be a true son of Abraham. You can't be a true heir of God. You remember the pride that one time there were some Jews who claimed to believe on the Lord Jesus, and he told them, he said, if you continue in faith, if you continue believing on me, you'll manifest you're my disciples indeed, and the truth will set you free. And that offended them. They said, we be the seed of Abraham. We were never in bondage to anybody. How are you saying we're going to be made free? And that was the spirit. That was the spirit here. They thought they were better than these others because of these outward differences. And that was the heart of these false preachers. They taught the Gentile believer that faith in Christ was not enough. They had to conform to these outward works of the law, or they couldn't be children of God. And the unifying message that the Spirit of God brought there, the unifying message, the message to unite, didn't listen to those outward differences. It didn't listen to what these men thought made them better than others outwardly. It wasn't that. It was the message that God's children are made children by God, by His grace. God's children are made righteous by Christ. God's children are saved through faith in Him, trusting Him, Christ, to do it all. God makes His children children by grace, and they're the true seed of Abraham. They're the ones that God, in eternity, when He made His will and testament of what His promise of His who His heirs would be, these are the ones He chose, all of grace. That was the unifying message. It was the message that pointed them to Christ. Away from themselves, away from these outward differences, away from these things that made them to differ, to Christ, to say, He's the only one that's made you to differ. That's the unifying message. Now, first of all, the Spirit declares that those with true faith, and you just think how wildly radical this was to these Judaizers, who were Jews, and they thought that these Gentiles couldn't be true children of God unless they came under the law. The Spirit of God here says that if they had true faith in Christ, they were all equally the children of God. He says here in verse 26, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He didn't leave anybody out. He's speaking to those God had gifted with faith in Christ, those that truly believed on Christ from the heart, whether they were Jew or Gentile, whether they were bond or free, whether they were male or female. He said, you are all the children of God, and it's manifest by this one thing. You believe on Christ. That's it. That's it. You believe on Christ. He didn't appeal to outward carnal differences. He didn't appeal to that. He didn't appeal to outward distinctions or outward works of the law. He didn't appeal to that. He didn't make any of that of necessity. Why? That would have created more division. That's exactly what it would have done. It would have made some be set over the other. And it would have made them feel justified and made the other feel like they didn't measure up to them. Instead, he says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. This is God's way of dealing with this problem. He sent the message that said, it's not what you've done, it's what Christ did. You're all the children of God, manifest this one way. You trust Christ. You believe on Christ. You rest in Christ. You rest in Christ. Now, faith in Christ doesn't make us the children of God. Faith in Christ doesn't make you the children of God. Faith in Christ is not really what makes you a believer. God makes you a believer. And God gives you faith in Christ. And faith is the fruit of what God's done for you. It's the fruit of what God's done for you. It's because God-given faith's the fruit that manifests that God already made you His child. You were his child. That's why he gave you that faith. He made us his children by calling us in eternity by his free and sovereign grace, not because we were Jew or Gentile, not because we were male or female, not because we had done anything good or done anything evil, simply because he would, by his grace. And in time, he reveals that to those he chose. He comes to you and he sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts and he gives you faith in Christ, not to make us children, but because he already made us children. You look there in Galatians 4:4, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. The scripture says he was coming forth made of a woman because his brethren were flesh and blood. That means he knew who he was coming for. It says here, he came made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Them that were under the law. He knew who he was coming to redeem. And here's why he was doing it. That we might receive the adoption of sons. He already knew who the sons were. He knew who the children were. He was coming to redeem us from all iniquity, from all sin, taking us out from under the curse by being made a curse for us, brethren, that we might be given the Holy Spirit and brought into the adoption and made to know we're children of God. That's what he was doing. He knew who he was dying for. And he accomplished this. He was made a curse for his people and put away our sin and made us righteous. And now look what it says here. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, because ye already were by God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, over in Romans 8, he said, the Holy Spirit makes us cry, Abba, Father. Here he says, the Spirit of his Son is in your heart, crying, Abba, Father. If you believe, if you cry to Father, Father, whatever you and I do in spirit is because Christ is in you and you're inseparably united. And sometimes when we can't pray, he said in Romans 8, the Spirit helps us with groanings that can't be uttered. But he did it because you are sons. Wherefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Christ redeemed those God had made children by election. That's who he came for. Look at Ephesians 1. I'll show you this for those that might not know. Ephesians 1, look at verse 3. It says there, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. You see there, he says Christ came and redeemed his people, and because your sons, because you were predestinated unto the adoption, he spent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, just like he at the exact predestinated time, and brought you to faith in Christ. And so faith in Christ, brethren, is the fruit that God produces in his child that manifests God made us his children. He made us his children, redeemed by Christ. He said in Ephesians 2:8, he says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One of those being believing on Christ. And God before ordained that his people shall walk in that. They're going to walk in the works he ordained. So you see what I'm saying? So these Judaizers that came there, now get what they were doing. They were appealing to the flesh. They were appealing to something in man. They were saying, unless you come under the old covenant law, you can't be children of God. It's one thing to believe on Christ, but now you got to come under the law or you can't be children of God. But the spiritual lesson in the law is God's the only one that makes us children. He's the only one that makes us to differ. He gave that old covenant law written on stones. He writes the new covenant on the heart. You remember, he taught this to Peter. There was the law of clean and unclean animals. And the purpose of that law was to say it's God who makes the difference between that which is holy and that which is not holy. He is to picture what he does for his people. And so he's getting ready to send Peter, who's a Jew, he's getting ready to send him to some Gentiles to preach the gospel. And so he puts Peter in a trance and he drops this sheet down from heaven and there's all these unclean animals in it. And the Lord said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. I've never broken that law. I'm not going to break that law and eat these unclean animals." And the Lord gave him the meaning and gave us the meaning of what he was teaching by that law. He said this. He said, "What God hath cleansed, what I've made holy, what I've sanctified, what I've made pure, that call not thou common." He says, now go to this Gentile. Go to this Gentile who I sanctified in divine election. Go to this Gentile who I have redeemed and perfected forever by my one offering. Go to him and preach the gospel to him. He's my child. And he's predestinated to the adoption of children. I'm sending you to him to preach the gospel to him. And this is what Peter said after that. He said, "God, which knows the hearts, he bear witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, just like he did us Jews." And he said, and he didn't put any difference between us and them. He didn't make us to be saved one way, us Jews, and make those Gentiles to be saved another way. There was no difference. He said, he purified their hearts by faith. And so Peter said, don't tempt God by bringing these Gentile believers back under the law. He said, the truth of the matter is, we believe that through God's free grace, through his sovereign grace, us Jews who had the law are not going to be saved by the law. We're going to be saved like these Gentiles are, by the grace of God who chose us, who redeemed us, who called us, and who's going to bring us home. We're going to be saved like they are. And so the Holy Spirit, this is my point to you though, he didn't base their sonship. He didn't base them being true children of God on anything they had done. Nothing they had done. Not anything they were by their first birth, not anything that they were as far as being a male or a female or bond or free or anything they had done by the law. He said, this is the one evidence that you're a child of God. He gave you faith in Christ. You rest in him. That's the total opposite of all that other stuff. Resting in Christ. Now that's the message the Spirit sent Paul with to create unity where there was nothing but division. Now secondly, look here. He declares that we who believe all have the same righteousness. We all have the same righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ. He said in verse 27, Galatians 3:27, "As many of you as have been baptized into Christ or unto Christ have put on Christ." The carnal Jews thought the law made them differ. But spiritually, the law declares there's no difference between anybody. You know, that's what the law really declares. There's no difference between any of us. Back up there a few verses, he said the law concluded us all under sin. Now that when spiritually we hear the law, that's what you hear. The law concludes us all under sin. Paul said, "What then? Are we Jews better than these Gentiles? No, in no wise. We before proven both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin." Now if we're going to esteem others better, really esteem others better, and we're going to be one, you know what the Spirit of God's going to do first? Going to make us all to be sinners. That's why he didn't come there and appeal to one being a Jew or one being a Gentile. He didn't come and appeal to anything in them or anything they had done. He came there and said, first of all, what this law really says is we're all sinners. Guilty in ourselves. can't do anything, can't say anything. He brings you down. He brings you down to see yourself as the chief of sinners. And when he does that, that's what's going to create unity with brethren. You can't exalt yourself over somebody else if you're on the bottom. And then the Spirit declared that as many of you as have confessed Christ in believer's baptism, truly confessed him, truly been immersed into Christ, you've put on Christ. It means this, through that faith that he gave you, God has robed each believer in the very same righteousness of Christ. You've been robed, just like you put on a garment, you've been robed in the same righteousness. The exact same righteousness. Every true believer has one righteousness. We're equally righteous. The righteousness of God. And that righteousness is Christ. We're equally perfect. We're equally robed in the garment of his righteousness. Go to Romans 3. Let me show you this. Romans 3, 22. This, I know that's what Paul's saying because this is what he says everywhere he goes. Here in Romans 3, verse 22, he says there that the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. And look at this. It's unto all and it's upon all. That faith of Christ, that righteousness of Christ, it's upon all them that believe. For there's no difference in ourselves. There's no difference. All have sinned. Everybody he saves are sinners, guilty, that can't open our mouths to commend ourselves for anything. We're all guilty. And he says, and we've come short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by Christ shedding his blood to redeem us. Who God set forth to be the mercy seat through faith in his blood. And so he's saying to us, brethren, he said, you that have confessed faith in Christ, you that have confessed him in believer's baptism, you've put on Christ. You're robed in the very same righteousness. Now, what does that mean for us, brethren? It means that Christ has taken down all the middle wall of partition. He's taken down all, he's taken away the differences that we thought made us to differ. Look at Ephesians 3 again and look at verse 13. He's talking about here about the Jew and the Gentile, and he's speaking here to Gentiles. And in verse 13 he says, Ephesians 2:13. He says, now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he's our peace. He made both Jew and Gentile one. He made us one with God. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What's he talking about? He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and he came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. The same message, for through him only, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. How's God going to create oneness of heart? What's the message he's going to use to create oneness of heart? Is it to go and say, now you're a Jew, you're a little better than that Gentile. That's not going to create oneness. Ladies, is it going to create oneness with you? Somebody come and say, now you're women, you're a whole lot better than these men. Or how would it make you feel if you came to the men and said, you're men, y'all are a lot better than these women. No, that's not going to do it. But the message, it says we're all on the same plane of sin, guilty, with no leg up in ourselves. But here's the good news. By God's grace, by the righteousness of Christ, he's robed us in the very same righteousness. Now you can have some oneness. Now you can have some oneness if that's blessed by the Spirit. That's the message that he's going to bless to do it. Now, thirdly, He declares our differences are gone in Christ. Not gone in the flesh, but they're gone in Christ. And we're one in Christ. He says here in verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, Galatians 3:28. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. The world tries to create oneness by the law. Now let's learn from this. These Judaizers came with this legal spirit, and they were trying to create a oneness, children of God, but they were doing it using the law, which always points out differences. And it's going to leave you with differences. Now, the world's been trying to legislate oneness and peace between the races and between the sexes. Has it worked? You can get people outwardly to treat other people better, but it doesn't make you love them in your heart. That's just so. What's going to make people one? If Paul had justified them by saying something outward or something done by them made them to differ, if he had justified these Judaizers in that, said something you did, something about you has made you to differ, he'd have made one think they was better than the other one. They wouldn't have created unity. That'd have made the division worse. But the Spirit of God made him endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit by declaring God's made you one in Christ. You're one in Christ. Outwardly, the differences may still exist. Culturally, we have to abide by laws and customs of the day. They had a problem with this at Corinth. The slave said, well, since I'm free, I'm a free man in Christ now. I'm not bond or free. There's no bond or free. So then I just need to run away and be free. And Paul said, nope, abide in the calling wherein God's called you. If you're a woman and God's given you grace and saved you, it doesn't mean now you're a man. You're still a woman in this world. But in Christ, we're equal. In Christ, we're one. In Christ, we have the same righteousness. In Christ, there's no divisions. It's only this gospel that's going to make sinners love each other and be one. That's it. Nothing else will, because this is the only message the Spirit of God blesses to create that unity, and he's the only one that can do it. I can't do it. And if I come to you trying to create unity to you with the law by justifying you and condemning another, I'm not going to create unity. The Spirit's the only one that can do that. He's going to do it through this message right here. Isn't that so? Look over here at Ephesians 4 and look at verse 2. Paul is doing, he's exhorting them to do, but he's doing what he's exhorting them to do. Look at this in Ephesians 4, 2. Paul is doing this with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing them in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And what was the Spirit's unifying message that he had Paul write? Same thing as he wrote to Galatia. There's one body, there's one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all who's above all and through all and in you all. That's the message the Spirit's going to bless to make us see. It's not anything outwardly about us that makes us to differ or makes one better than another. When I start feeling like I'm better than you because you did something and I didn't do that, you know what's going to keep me from being puffed up and getting on a soapbox against you? For Christ to remind me, I'm a guilty sinner. That's all I am. A wretch. A wretch. But don't you need to say something to the brother? Yeah, but I can't do it till I'm made to know I'm the wretch. Because I won't do it in lowliness. I'll do it in a legal spirit. We got to be brought. This is the message. If the word turns me to Christ alone, if the word I'm hearing is turning me to Christ, if it's centering me on Christ and turning me to Christ, if it's making me to hear that of his righteousness alone, if it's making me know I don't have anything in me to even look to, it's Christ only. If that's what I'm hearing, I'm hearing the word. I'm hearing the spirit. I'm hearing the message the spirit has sent. Judaizers were doing the opposite. They were turning them from Christ back to themselves and to one another. And you know what that results in? Confusion and division. Can't hear. Can't hear. Sitting there, you were hearing, you were blessed, you're being blessed, you were rejoicing, and then here comes this message that turns you from Christ to you, and you can't hear anymore. But the Spirit's message that He's blessing is turning you from you and you and you and you and all of us from each other and saying, we have nothing to boast in. There's our righteousness right there. Christ, and in Him, we're one in Him. That's the message He's gonna break our heart, our fleshly, proud, self-differentiating self, and bring that down. And the Spirit's going to make us say, ah, I'm one by His grace. I'm one with Christ. That's what I know that's the message of the Lord, because this is the prayer of our great high priest, Christ. He said, pray to the Father in John 17, 21. I pray, Father, that they all be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me, and the glory which Thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we're one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. I can't create this oneness in the heart. But I know the message that God uses to do it. And I'm trying to tell you the message God's going to use to do it. So that when I need to hear this message, you speak this message to me. And when another brother needs to hear it, you speak this message to them. This is what brought you out of your sin and rebellion and everything in the beginning was this message of the gospel. This is the message we keep using. For everything. For every situation. Now lastly, let's look at this. He declared, we have the same inheritance. We're the same children of Abraham, and we have the same inheritance as each other. Look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now this is the all important thing right here. Here it is. Where I was born? Nope. Is it what my sex is? If I'm male or female? Nope. If I'm bond or free? Nope. If I've strictly adhered to the law and kept the law, nope. Here it is. If ye be Christ. There's the important thing. If you're Christ. If you're His. If you're His. If you're Christ and you're Abraham's seed. If you're Christ, you're children of Abraham. The true Israel of God. The true Israel of God. That's what they were saying, these Judaizers. They were trying to make natural Israel to be the true Israel of God. He just said, nope, they're not. The true seed of Abraham are those who belong to Christ. See, this thing's spiritual, brethren. It's not about what we do. It's not about what we don't do. This is the message that will make you do what you're supposed to do and act as you're supposed to act. But no other message will. Anything else is just going to create pride and arrogance and self-righteousness and division and self-justification. This is a message that's going to humble the heart. We're spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. Now look at this. And if you're Christ, you're heirs of God according to God's promise, according to His will and testament. That's what it is, the will and testament of God. You're heirs. You know, the Judaizers, they were going to make a difference in the inheritance too. If they would have had their way, they would have made a difference in the inheritance. How do I know that? Because I hear Judaizers preaching all over the world today. And they're telling you that you got to work to indebt God to pay you when you die so you get the biggest mansion on the best side of heaven so you can look down on the poor saints on the bad side of heaven. You think that's going to be a thing in heaven? No. Why? We all have the same inheritance. What is it? Look at verse 6, Galatians 4, 6. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He said, how am I going to give them a goodly inheritance? They're going to be brought to call me Father. Verse 7, wherefore you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, here's your inheritance. You're an heir of God through Christ. What do we inherit? God. You're an heir of God. He said to Abraham, fear not, I am your exceeding great reward. He said, I'm your part and I'm your inheritance. J.C. Philpott said, all the love of God, the goodness of God, the holiness of God, all His happiness, bliss, and blessedness, all His might and majesty and glory shining forth in the person of His dear Son in the blaze of one eternal, unclouded day. That's the saints' inheritance. It's Him. It's Him. Everything's in Him. And that's the message that He uses to make His people stop looking at us and look only to Him and unite us. Takes away all the division, all the differences between us, and makes us see Him. Makes us all equally sinners, but makes us equally righteous, equally children of Abraham, with an equal inheritance, with the same righteousness. That's unity, oneness. I pray You'll bless that. Let's observe the Lord's table. Brother Scott, if you and Ravi, would y'all pass the elements out?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Son, the body You prepared for Him, the reminder that this table is meant to be for us. Help us to remember.